This morning, I'm going to speak on the subject you saw in the bulletin, Six Unusual Cities. In my life, in my experience, I've got an opportunity to go to some unusual cities that exist today. It's been a while, but one time I got to go to Tokyo, Japan. And when I was there, and again, it's probably different now, but when I was there, they told me that the area of land that your foot covered, when you stepped down on it, cost $10,000, just the area that your foot covered. I mean, property was so expensive. I got to go to Seoul, Korea a couple times. Now, Seoul, Korea is an unusual city. When you got off the airplane, everything smelled like garlic. I mean, and when you got into a taxi cab, it smelled like garlic. When you went into the hotel, it smelled like garlic. Everything smelled like garlic. I got to go to Stockholm, Sweden one time. That's an unusual city because it's a city made up of islands. And if you took a taxi cab, most of them were boats to get to the different parts of the city. I've been in Sydney a couple times. Sydney's unusual. Sydney, Australia, it's unusual because the toilets run in a different direction when they go down the drain. Different part of the world, so a different direction. I got to go to Singapore a couple times. Singapore is very unusual because they'll tell you when you get on the plane. I got on the plane in Detroit to fly to Singapore. They said, if you got any drugs, you need to get rid of them because if you get into Singapore and they find you with drugs, they'll just kill you. No trial, nothing like that. They'll just kill you. Now, again, it may be big different now, but that's the way it was when I went. Now, you could probably list some unusual cities that you have been in, and if we had the time, we could do that this morning. But I want to look at the unusual cities that we read about in the book of Joshua, chapter 20, when Adam led us in leading those first six verses. When Joshua and the children of Israel, and actually it started with Moses, but when they got out of Egypt and they came into the land that God had promised them, God told Moses, and he told Joshua, he says, I want you to choose six locations. I want you to choose six cities, and I'm going to tell you who's going to live there. The people that are going to live there are the Levites, the priests, and the killers. That's who's going to inhabit these cities, priests and killers. And so this morning, I want to talk about those cities. Our text verse will be chapter 20, verse 6. We read a moment ago, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from which he fled. So this morning, what I want to do is I just want to illustrate for you how those cities worked. Who were the people that got to go there? And then I want to mention three things about those cities. And so I need some help this morning. So Brother George, would you come up here and help me? Andy, would you and Carol come up here and help me? And then, Brother Wayne, would you come up here and help me? Would you guys just sit down right there on the front row, okay? Now, again, I want to just illustrate this for you. So, Brother George, you come here. You come here. Brother Carol, you just sit down. Wayne, you sit down. Andy, you come here, okay? You come here. So, George and Andy are a couple of our ushers, okay? So, just for the sake of illustration this morning, let's say they get into a small disagreement about which aisle they want to usher in. Okay, let's just, again, just for sake of illustration, let's say they both said, well, I want this aisle right here. Andy says, this is the aisle I want. George says, this is the aisle I want. And so they, you know, get into a little bit of discussion. They both want the aisle. They're not willing to give. And in the heat of that friendly discussion, one of them kills the other one. Now, I know this is far-fetched, but I'm just trying to illustrate the concept of a city of refuge. So we got to decide who's going to kill who, okay? And so being good Baptist, we're going to vote. How many want Andy to kill George? Raise your hand. How many want George to kill Andy? Raise your hand. Okay, Andy, are you ready to go to heaven?
Yeah, we betcha.
I mean, it was a close vote, 3-2, but you got, I mean, you lost. Okay, so in the heat of this friendly little discussion, George kills Andy. So just sort of lay down here.
We don't have anything to say about this?
No. just sort of lay down right there. Oh, and by the way, I got a prop for you. Hold that. No, hold it up. Okay. So, again, in the heat of this friendly little disagreement, George kills Andy. Well, Carol hears about it. So Carol stand up and says, "George, you killed my husband. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, husband for husband." She says, "I'm going to kill you." Now, you know, Carol looks very calm, collected, and you know, easygoing. But I tell you what, she loves this guy. I don't know why, but she loves this guy. And if somebody, if George laid a hand on him to kill him, you'd be mad, right? You would want revenge, right? You'd want to do what the Bible says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. I'm going to kill this guy. Now, Andy and Carol have a son, Caleb. He's been here several times. Caleb is taller than his dad, and he is muscular. He is strong. He's not a guy you want to mess around with, George. Caleb would come and said, "George, you killed my dad. I'm going to kill you." Now, they have two girls, Kristen and Kim. Kim's here this morning. You'd want revenge, right, Kim? I mean, if old George killed your dad, you'd want to get him, right? You'd want him to pay the price. And so all the Marchigs are coming after George because you have killed dad and their husband. Now, God comes and says, "George, you didn't really mean it, did you? It was an accident, right? Help me here, George, right?"
Yeah, right.
It was an accident, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you didn't plan it out.
No.
You didn't plan it out. I mean, it was just something that happened in the heat of a discussion, right?
Right.
So God says, "I got a place for George to go." It wasn't premeditated. It was an accident. And so I've got one of these six cities that you can go to. You can escape Carol. And you can escape Caleb. And you can escape Kim. And you can escape Kristen. They cannot come into that city to get you. You will be safe there. Okay, sit down just for a minute, Carol. Brother Wayne, you stand up. Now, how long can George stay there? George can stay there, according to these verses, as long as the high priest is still alive. So Brother Wayne's going to be the high priest this morning. So as long as Brother Wayne keeps breathing, as long as he has life still in him, George is able to stay in that city. Now, when the high priest dies, the Bible says George has got to leave. He's got to leave that city. Now, all the time that the high priest is alive, Carol, nor any of the kids, nor any of Andy's relationship can come into that city and pull him out and make him pay the price. But when Brother Wayne kicks the bucket, when the high priest is gone, no, not yet, when the high priest is gone, George has got to leave. Now, that could be 10 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 30 years. We hope it's a long time before Brother Wayne kicks the bucket.
Amen.
Amen. But when he does, he has to leave. He has to leave the city. And if Carol's still alive, and if she still has revenge in her eyes and in her heart, she's coming to get you, George. She's coming to get you. Okay, Brother Wayne, you sit down. Brother George, you sit down. You guys stay right there. Andy, don't move. So there was six of these cities. Six of these cities. And by the way, they were all set on high places. They were all set on mountains. And wherever you were in the land of Israel, you could get to one of these cities in a half a day. Within a half a day's journey. Again, they didn't have cars or motorcycles or anything back there. So you could walk to one of these cities in a half a day. One city was called Kadesh, which means set apart. One city was called Shechem, which means to be ready. One city was called Hebron, which means to unite. One was called Bezer, which means to protect with walls. One city was called Ramoth, which means a place on high. And the sixth one was called Golan, which means joy. So, George can go to one of these cities. Of course, he would go to the closest one. The one that, wherever the crime occurred, the city of refuge, which was closest to George, that would be the one that he would flee to. And he could stay there under the protection of that city, the elders of that city, until the high priest dies. When the high priest dies, if any of Andy's relations are still alive, they could still come after him. Now, they would pay the price for committing murder, but George was no longer under the protection of the cities of refuge. Now, I want to say three things about those cities. And I want you to notice how these cities paint a picture of salvation. First thing I want to say, that they were cities for sinners. City for sinners. Who were the cities of refuge set up for? People like George. Killers. Killers. Now, when George goes to one of those cities, what is he looking for? He is looking for protection. He is looking for peace. George, stand up again. Just come up here and stand by the body. Just, you know, right there by the body. When George goes to one of those cities, he is looking for a place of peace. He's not going to get any peace with Carol after him. You're not, George. I'm sorry. You're just not. You're all, I mean, what's he looking for? He's looking for a place that he can sleep at night. You're not going to sleep at night, George, knowing that Carol's coming after you and wants to kill you. He's looking for joy. And again, he's not going to have any joy as long as Carol and Caleb and the girls are after him wanting to seek revenge. So he spends all of his time running, looking over his shoulder. Are they getting close? Do I have to worry? And so what he's looking for is peace. He's looking for joy. He's looking to be able to have that security that comes from only knowing that you are safe. Now, let me ask you, those people that got drunk last night, what were they looking for? They were looking for the same thing that George was looking for. They were looking for peace in their life. Those people that got into some other sin last night, what were they looking for? They're looking for the same thing that George was looking for. They're looking for that peace. They're looking for joy. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking to be able to sleep at night. They're looking for that thing that fits into every single one of us, that every single person was created with a need for, and that's peace with God. A relationship with God. And apart from God, there's a part of our life that will never be satisfied, that will never be fulfilled. But I want to tell you this morning, every Christian here has found what George is looking for in the city of refuge. Every person that knows Jesus Christ has found the peace and the joy and the satisfaction that every single sinner is looking for. George is going to find it in a city of refuge. We find it in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I want to tell you something this morning. Every single one of us can identify with Brother George. Every single one of us are killers. Say, preacher, I've never killed anybody. I beg to differ with you, because the Bible says that if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. James chapter 2. If I break the law in one point, I'm guilty of all. One of the laws is thou shalt not kill. So if I break the law in any point, if I tell a little white lie, in God's sight, I'm just as guilty as Brother George, the killer of Andy. Keep your eyes open. I don't want you going to sleep there, bud. I want you to be listening. So if I lie, I'm just as guilty in God's sight as Brother George. I'm a killer. If I disobey my parents, I'll just pick two of the Ten Commandments that are the easiest to break, telling a lie and disobeying our parents. But any sin in God's sight makes me just as guilty as killer George. So if I sped on the way to church this morning, and I want you to know, because I knew what I was preaching, I stayed exactly at the speed limit this morning. I did not want you to have a hypocrite for a preacher this morning. I stayed exact. But if you sped on the way to church this morning, in God's sight, you broke the law. You're just as guilty as Killer George. If you have a bad attitude about somebody or someone, Harry and I were talking after the Sunday school lesson this morning about that feud that went on between Jacob and Esau, those two brothers, and how it carried on for years and years and years. And we were talking about how we need to keep things right within our families and not have anything between our brothers and our sisters. But if you got something between your brother, something between you and your sister, something between you and somebody else, in God's sight, you're just as guilty as Killer George. Just as guilty. You ever been called that before?
No.
Good. But I want to tell you something else. We are also guilty of another death. Because you see, it was our sins that took Christ to Calvary. He died for no sins that he committed. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. And so in God's sight, I mean, I know God sent Jesus to die in our place. I know it was God's decision to lay every sin upon him. But my sins are responsible for the death of the Son of God, because that was the price that had to be paid for him. So these were cities for sinners. George is looking for that peace and that satisfaction and that joy that only comes from that city of refuge. We are looking for that peace and satisfaction and security that only comes from Jesus Christ. Okay, George, sit down again for a second. So they were cities for sinners. Number two, they were cities of safety. The only way that Brother George is going to stay safe is to go to that city. Come back, George. Sorry. So, I say, George, you didn't really mean to kill him, did you?
No.
It was an accident.
Right.
I mean, you didn't plan it out.
No.
You didn't premeditate it.
No.
It just sort of came up all at once.
Right.
When you were arguing over what row that you were going to usher in, right?
Right.
Okay. So, he didn't mean it. I say, George, you need to go to the city of refuge. I know Carol. I know that she loves him and that she's going to get you. I mean, it won't be when you're expecting it. You'll be walking along a dark street and she'll jump out, stab you, and you'll be dead. Or Caleb, he won't be so subtle. He'll come up and just pop you on the head with his baseball bat and you'll be dead. Now, the only way that you have to escape is to go to that city. Let's suppose George says, I don't think I'll go. He says, I tell you what, I'll come to church and I'll get baptized. That'll make everything right. Carol, will that make everything right? You still want to kill him?
Well,
do you still want to kill him? Come on, help me here.
Yes,
she wants to kill him. It doesn't matter if he gets baptized. It doesn't really matter. What if George says, I promise I'll never kill anybody again. Kim, is that going to make a difference? You still want him dead? Sorry, George. The only hope that you have is to go to one of these six cities. Otherwise, these guys are going to get you. Again, you won't know when it's coming. They're going to kill you. Now listen, the only hope that we have is to come to Jesus Christ. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, there is no other way to get right with God. There is no other way to get your sins forgiven. You can't say, well, I'll just get baptized. Fine. That'll mean there'll be another baptized person in hell. Or I'll just join a church. Fine. That'll just mean there's another church member in hell. Or fine, I'll turn over a new leaf and I promise never to sin again. Fine, that'll just mean there's another reformed person in hell. None of those things will take you to heaven. It's not a multiple choice question. It's either Jesus and go to heaven, or it's reject Jesus and go to hell. There's no in between. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing else that George can do if he wants to escape the revenge of Carol and Caleb and the girls. The only thing that he can do is to go to one of these cities. Now, Let's suppose that I really like George. I love him. Maybe he's my brother. I wouldn't admit it, but he might be my brother. Sorry. He's probably old enough to be my dad. No, not really. So, but let's say I love him. I just love him. I love him like a brother. And George is hesitant to go to one of these cities. I say, George, you can't hesitate. You got to leave now. I mean, Carol's going to come after. She's going to kill you. She's going to stab you in the back with a knife. I mean, you are done for unless you get to one of those cities. You think I'm going to worry about George and how he might perceive that I'm pressuring him to go to one of those cities?
No.
You think I'm going to worry about that? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to put all the pressure on him I can. George, I love you. She's going to kill you. You got to get to one of those cities, and you got to get there now. I'm not going to worry about if he's perceiving that I'm pressuring him or not. I'm not even going to worry about if he understands it completely. George, I can't explain it to you completely, but I know the only hope that you have is to go to one of those cities. You've got to get there. I'm not even going to worry about if somebody thinks, well, you're scaring him to get there. You're just scaring him to get there. You're trying to use the revenge of Carolyn, the revenge that she and Caleb and the girls are going to work on you to get to that city. I'm going to say, George, I don't care what you think of my approach. I don't care what you think if I'm pressuring you or not. I'm not going to worry about bringing it up day after day, worrying that I'm bothering him. I love him. I want to get him to that city where he's going to be safe. You know, there's people that tell you, don't pressure your relatives about Christ. Don't pressure them. Wait till your kids get older, because if you talk to them about Jesus when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, they're too young to understand. And surely don't try to scare them to Christ by talking about hell. That's not a very good reason to get saved. Look, if you love your relatives, you're not going to worry about how much pressure you're putting on them. You're not going to worry when you talk to your little grandchild who's 4 or 5 years old if they understand it or not. You're not going to worry about if people are going to perceive, well, you're trying to scare them into hell, or try to scare them into heaven by using hell. I mean, if I love somebody like I love George, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to get them to come to Jesus Christ and let the world be hanged. I don't care what they say. Let them talk. Because their eternal soul is at stake. And I want them to get to the only one that can make a difference. Okay, George, sit down. Andy, don't move yet. A dead person doesn't do this. You can't get good help. Yeah, I know. All right. And then number 3. So they were cities for sinners. They were cities for safety. They are cities for security. Okay, Brother George, come back. Okay. How long can George stay? Brother Wayne, come on back up here. Turn around and stand right there beside Brother George. George can stay in that city as long as the high priest stays alive. So I tell you what George is going to do. He's one of these cities. He's going to call Carol on the phone, Wayne's wife. He's going to call Carol on the phone, and he's going to say, Carol, we need to get Wayne some vitamins. We need to get them vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin A, all the letters of the alphabet, and everything else. We need to just pump them full of vitamins, right? Because George wants to keep them alive.
Right.
And by the way, we want to examine his diet.
Oh, you got a big job.
We want to look at what he's eating, because if he's eating anything that's going to shorten his life, we want you to knock it out. We want you to cut it out, because we want him to live. George wants him to live just as long as he can. And if he's doing anything that's dangerous, like if he's going up in hot air balloons or anything like that, we want you to just cease and desist. because we want, George wants him to live as long as he can. George is going to call Wayne, say, "Brother Wayne, how you feeling?" And Brother Wayne might say, "Well, I think I got a little cold coming on." And Brother George says, "Get to the doctor." Because we don't want that to turn into anything. I want to keep you healthy and alive as long as I can, because when you die, I got to leave this place. Now, okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Andy, stay there just for a second. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, talks about our high priest. Here's what the Bible says. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth." Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, I and you have a better high priest than George does. Because one day, even though we pump him full of vitamins and watch his diet and make sure he goes to the doctor when he's sick and keep him from doing anything that's dangerous, one of these days, Brother Wayne is going to kick the bucket. And George is going to have to leave the city of refuge. But when I get into my refuge in Jesus Christ, I have a high priest that's never going to die. I have a high priest that's going to live forever and forever and ever, will make intercession for me before the Father. Now, George, having heard all this, don't you think you ought to go to one of those cities of refuge? Huh?
Yep.
You don't want Carol after you, right?
Right?
And you don't want Caleb after you. And you don't want the girls after you. I mean, the only hope you have is to get to one of those cities. Okay, thank you all. You can go back to your seats. Thank you, Andy. Any reasonable person would say the same thing that Brother George said. Given these circumstances, I accidentally killed somebody. Their family wants revenge. The way that God has provided for my protection is to go to one of these six cities of refuge. Any reasonable person would say, "I'll go. I'll go. That's where I'll find safety. That's where I'll find security. I mean, they were built for me. I'm a killer." Any reasonable person would go. And the same thing ought to be true today. Any reasonable person that understands that they're a sinner and that there's a penalty for that sin, and the penalty is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And the only hope, refuge we have is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to come to him and receive him as our Savior. Any reasonable person would say, "I need to do that. I need to do it." And just like George could not delay, any reasonable person would say, "I need to do it now. I need to do it today." So here's the invitation this morning. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's never been a time in your life where you went to him and you told him, "I'm a sinner. I believe the Bible when it says that the penalty for that sin is death. And I believe the Bible when it says that Jesus paid the price for my sin. And right now, I'm asking him to save me." If there's never been a time like that in your life, you need to make now that time. You need to make this moment that time. You need to make today that time. You need, right where you sat, to tell God that you know that you're a sinner, you understand there's a penalty for it, and that you're trusting Christ, who paid for your sin, to save you from that penalty. Just a second, we're going to sing a song. And if you need help in doing that, you come. And I'll get somebody to take the Bible and from the Bible show you how to do that. But you need to do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making it so clear and plain what salvation is all about. Thank you for making it available to every single person whosoever will may come. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, that right now they would come and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this type, this time of invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.